morning in Stafford Springs, Connecticut. And I got up early that morning because it was to be a very unique day at work. Well, that, and I had recently shaved my head for the very first time, and learned that, contrary to popular belief, it's not easier than having hair. Because you have to shave every other day to look this good. Just ask Dave Waite. So I shaved. I looked for obvious bleeding. Put on my red button-up shirt and some black pants. Had breakfast. I looked at notes as I prepared for a meeting that I was leading. And at this meeting, I was going to be hosting the assistant managers of all the stores that I was directing at that time. And we were going to meet in Enfield, Connecticut. And they were going to come in from all points in Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Westchester County, New York. And for many of these people, it was the first meeting that they had ever attended, because typically these meetings were reserved for the store managers. And as I looked at my notes over breakfast, Christy, who was then pregnant with Margaret, took our 6-year-old son Gabriel by the hand to walk him on his 1-block trip to school and first grade. She returned quickly, and I said goodbye, gave her an idea when I thought I might be coming home. I got in the company car, a beautiful blue Dodge Caravan, at 8:30 a.m., and I began to make the 30-minute trek to Enfield, Connecticut. My goal was to be there an hour before the meeting started at 10 a.m. Now, in those days, I drove to different locations every single day of the week. But I had the same traveling companion every single day. I listened to Howard Stern. I listened to his daily morning broadcast from New York City. And as with every other weekday morning, I drove and laughed at his distinctly juvenile brand of humor until just after 8:46 a.m. when Howard Stern interrupted the people who were also on the program with him to say that a plane had hit the World Trade Center and there was a big fire. And right along with the people who were on that radio broadcast, I did not understand what was going on. One person in the broadcast said, "Oh, back in the 40s, a plane hit the Empire State Building by accident." Surprised that it doesn't really happen more often. And then within seconds, another actually said, "I hope it's not one of those terrorist kamikaze attacks." Within seconds of what happened. And you know, my heart leapt. I immediately turned the radio down. I called Christy from my cell phone and said, "Are you watching TV?" She said, "It's on. Why?" I said, "I want you to look and see what they're saying about the World Trade Center. Is there anything on?" And then she began to describe in real time the first pictures that were coming through and relayed what they were saying as these events were taking place. "There's a fire," some said. "There's a bomb," some said. And some reported a plane hitting the building. Some people even went so far as to suggest that this wasn't a small prop plane, that this was a jet, this was something big. Some news reporters said, "No, it couldn't have been big. It wasn't big at all." And I arrived at the mall where we were having the meeting, and I tried to get any information that I could as my assistant managers began to appear over the next hour. And by the time the meeting was to start, it was clear that we were under attack. And 1 minute at 9:59, before that meeting was to start, we were listening to a radio description of that first tower falling down. And we were stunned. We had no idea what we should do. Here I am with this group of 20 assistant managers in this mall meeting room. And we had just heard this news. And we talked about leaving, but the radio also informed us that the governor of Connecticut had declared a state of emergency and said we were not allowed to be on the highways, that the highways were shut down. Some of these employees wept. Some of them desperately tried to reach family members, some of whom were actually working at the World Trade Center. And we all ended up in a Ruby Tuesday in that mall, watching this little TV in the bar, along with a handful of other people who happened to be at the mall that morning. And what we saw on TV was everything changing for all of us. We could no longer make the same assumptions about life here. Over the course of an hour, we had just experienced the most deadly attack ever on United States soil. We could no longer look at the rest of the world and say the dangers are just out there somewhere. They're here too. As soon as I could, I got home to a wife who was terrified, not for herself, but for this new life within her. And we watched TV as reporter after reporter speculated whether or not the attacks were even over at that point, or were the attacks just beginning? And where else might attacks occur? And we wondered, what would come next? Were we in danger? And we were reminded, as many of you were reminded on that day, of this simple fact. We are not in control. We had no idea how to protect ourselves from what might come, from unknown dangers that lurked around every corner. And we all dealt with this as the days went on in our own unique ways. Within a few days, I shared my concerns with a counselor, and this counselor said to me, "You know, what do you have to worry about, really? You live in Northeast Connecticut, well away from a dangerous area." But you know what? We know that's not true. Juniata County seems like a very safe place. When we were here last Sunday, who would have expected what happened in the 7 days since? Just a few months ago, a tornado destroyed homes and properties just a few miles from this building. Just a few weeks ago, the ground shook underneath us. Over the last week, floods devastated communities north of us, south of us. Some drowned. 2 nights ago, the thunderstorms right here created flash floods that damaged properties and swept people into dangerous situations that demanded water rescues. We are surrounded by tragedy and trouble, upheavals and destruction. Try as we might, we can't secure our homes, let alone our homeland. And here is a hard truth for you today. God doesn't want you to find security in your homeland. He doesn't want you to find security in your home. He doesn't want you to find security in your belongings. He doesn't want you to find security in your routines and your schedules that you keep each week. He doesn't want you to find security in your family. And He doesn't want you to find security in yourself. Your security will not be found in that which He has created, but only in Him, the Creator. Your salvation will not be found in anything or anyone that He has created, but only at the cross. God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. We expect this ground to be secure. We take it for granted. When you walked into church this morning, did it cross your mind that this ground might move beneath you as you walked into the doors. No. Because it's like breathing. We don't think about it until we can't do it. And we don't think about the earth moving until it does. And we can look out the front of this building at Shade Mountain standing over here. And Shade Mountain has always spoken volumes to me personally. It speaks stability. It speaks order. It speaks beauty. Many of you attended East Juniata High School. And if you were anything like me, there were long moments during days that you looked out those back windows of that building at Shade Mountain, thinking about anything except what was being taught. So Shade Mountain is burned into our brains as a backdrop for life. But the psalmist tells us here that there is devastation so severe that the earth would open up or be removed entirely, and that this mountain, much like Shade Mountain, that we have always seen and have always known, would be moved into the midst of the waters. There will be floods that dwarf anything we've seen in the last week. There would be chaos beyond our wildest imagination. Yet, in the midst of what we can't imagine, in the midst of the unimaginable, we have a refuge who is God. We have a strong shelter who is God. And when we are weak, He is our strength. When all else has failed us, He is trustworthy. When all others have abandoned us, He is always there. Creation is not in control. God, the Creator, is in control. Our enemies are not in control. God is in control. And whether we see 100-story towers topple to the ground, tsunamis tear a nation apart, or houses floating in the Susquehanna River, we can affirm along with the psalmist, we will not fear. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Why don't we fear? We don't fear because God has promised to be with us. And God has promised to be our fortress. Rather than bringing chaos in God's kingdom, the water brings life to those within God's fortress walls, in this city of God. God is our strength. God is ever present, and He dwells among us. God doesn't watch our problems from afar. But the psalmist tells us He is right there in the midst of us, His people. And when the dawn breaks, and we look out over the fortress walls, and we see enemies surrounding the fortress as far as the eye can see, God brings us deliverance. And He delivers us with His Word. God opens His mouth, and the nations and the kingdoms who oppose Him totter. The nations and kingdoms who oppose Him shake, and they are removed. Those who oppose God melt in fear of His voice. The Lord of hosts is with us. God commands heaven's armies, and He defends us from our enemies. We may not be secure in our homeland, but we are secure in God's home. We are safe in the fortress of the God of Jacob. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We look around us, and we no longer see the destruction of the flood. We look around us, and we no longer see the devastation of toppled buildings. We look around us, and we no longer see destroyed lives, but rather, we see the end of war. The weapons of war are broken, and they are scattered over the earth. And who did this? No matter how we try, no matter what we do, there is nothing that we can do to bring ourselves security. Only God can make the wars cease. Only God can break the bows. Only God shatters the spears. And in the midst of our fears, in the midst of our anxieties, in the midst of our worries, as we try to store up goods for ourselves to protect us from the calamity which may come, God says, be still. In Hebrew, it comes close to the idea of enough. Know that I am God. Not the rulers of this world, not your things, not you. Enough. Be still. Know that I am God, and I will be exalted. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose. And the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke, and he rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And Jesus said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this that commands the wind and the waves? For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word made flesh. God's exaltation is proven in Christ, and all nations will bow before Him at His return. And this Jesus, who for your sake poured out His life at the cross, invites you into relationship with Him. Jesus invites you to utterly depend on Him in everything and at all times. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Though the earth quakes, though the flood waters come, though your enemies surround you on all sides, though man's great works and buildings are destroyed, the Word tells us, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And when the crises come in your life, whether they are big ones or they are small ones, even if it is the worst possible thing that you can imagine could take place in that moment, you can say and believe with the psalmist, we will not fear. We will not fear because our God is a mighty fortress. We will not fear because Jesus is in our midst and Jesus is at our side. Amen.